Today on the Cameron Journal podcast, I am joined by Anne Galloway. She is a Scot turned Dutch resident, and she has written a new book called Conquering Imposter Syndrome, A Guide to Job Fulfillment and Getting Back on the Path to Career Success. There's extensive research and personal experiences to help people navigate something that I think is more common than we really realize it is. And the book provides numerous confidence boosting techniques and fun case studies. So we're going to find out all about Anne and her whole situation. It's very exciting. So welcome, Anne, to the Cameron Journal podcast.
Thank you.
Good. Well, let's start from the beginning. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so, well, you've already given my name, so I'm Anne Galloway. I am Scottish, and I've been living now in the Netherlands for 17 years, which is really hard to believe because we came here for two, and I'm still here. It's a great place to be, but I do miss the mountains. Yes. It's really flat here, so I have to get back to Scotland or into the Swiss Alps or something, at least once a year, if not twice, because I really need to get into the mountains. I was one of those people who never really knew what they wanted to do when they grew up. And I fell into a course at university in business management, fell to my first job, didn't really enjoy that very much, in accounts, moved on to another corporate job, then started my own business as a freelance consultant. And then we moved to the Netherlands. And at that point, it was, what do I do now? I'm here for 2 years. I can't do what I did in Scotland. So I had to reinvent myself again. And that took a little bit of time to do. But after a couple of years, I started as a careers consultant. So I'm now a qualified resume writer. I help people get jobs, basically. And I really love what I do because I get to meet so many interesting people. From all across the globe. I'm lucky to work with freelance with an organization that works with internationals and expats, so people who move with their partners to different countries and need help to get a job. So it's really amazing. And through that is where I realized how many people suffer from imposter syndrome. And it made me want to find out a bit more about it. To be honest, I'm also one of them. I've found ways to get around it and to overcome it most of the time. But it's really fascinating. I'm not a psychologist. I did a little bit of psychology at university. And a few years back, I did a diploma in child psychology, but that doesn't really help me with my work now. But it's really interesting to see and to find out, to be able to find out more about it. And now being able to help people as part of career coaching that I do, to help people try and get over it to advance their careers. So that's it in a nutshell.
Excellent. Well, that's very impressive. And it's, I always wondered how people who move internationally a lot, I'm like, what do these people do for work? How do they get jobs? Like, I can barely get a job in America. Like, how are these people navigating this? So crazy. And now they call you. Now we know they call you.
it is hard, though, because when we first moved here, I struggled because we're not, I'm not living in Amsterdam. If I was living in a big city where virtually everybody speaks English anyway, it would be much easier to get a job. But yeah, that's where the reinventing comes from. And that's where a lot of people realize as well when they move that they can't always stay in the same career path. And sometimes you have to just start up yourself.
So, yeah. Well, let's talk about the book a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you got the idea to write it and how you put it together and what people get when they buy it?
Okay. So it was through experience with working with different people. And I realized the problems they were having. I've worked with clients who are really good at their jobs, but they don't believe they're good at the jobs because they don't have the qualification to back it up. And they feel that everybody that they're working in is really highly qualified, so clearly knows their stuff and is so much better than them. And that really holds them back. And I thought, wait a minute, it's not all about qualifications. There are a lot of people who are highly qualified and not very good in the jobs front, whereas these people who've got experience can do a really good job as well. And learning on the job is a really good way to learn as well. So That plus my own experiences got me into reading more about imposter syndrome. And it's maybe just a couple of fancy words for lack of confidence, perhaps. But it affects us in so many ways at work. And I only focus on the work area in the book, so it's for people who are looking to get over their imposter syndrome, improve their confidence at work. So the book itself, I've previously co-written the book so that with a colleague. This is the first time I've written a book on my own, so the process was incredibly slow. It did take time. I enjoyed doing it, but it was making the time and finding the time to write. What I found really interesting is that I learned that there are so many famous people who've got imposter syndrome as well, people you'd never expect have imposter syndrome or low confidence. People like Richard Branson and Michelle Obama, one of the loads of people, Tom Hanks as well. I mean, these are amazing people. You think, how on earth can they be lacking in confidence? But what was also interesting to find out when I
Barbara
dug a bit
Streisand
deeper.
has a new memoir out. She talks about this too.
It's really. There are so many people, and when I started doing the research, I found more and more, and I thought, wow, I would not have thought of these people. And they say to there are studies that show that about 82% of the population has suffered from imposter syndrome at some time in their lives. And just yesterday, purely by chance, it came across my news feed, 88% of leaders have imposter syndrome. And again, it's really surprising.
The sad thing is,
So
nobody who should have imposter syndrome has imposter syndrome. Like,
this is it, I think. Yes,
it's like, you
somebody
know
said
who needs
virtually the same
imposter
thing
syndrome? Rishi Sunak or Donald Trump. Like, these are the people
to
that
me. Yes,
need imposter
somebody
syndrome.
said something very similar to me the other day about that. It's people who are hardworking and do well and are honest with what they do are the people who seem to suffer from it the most, which is really interesting. And you're right, there are so many people who should have it. In fact, a lot of it, I think, stems from we spend too much time comparing ourselves with other people, whether it's how we look, how we communicate, how we get on at work, how well we do in exams. And really, there was a phrase I read recently, it's comparison is a thief of joy. And that pretty much sums up imposter syndrome. We're so busy comparing ourselves with other people and how well they're doing that we don't realize that, we're missing out on life basically because we're spending too much time trying to compare ourselves with other people. There are ways to get around it. I think it's the sort of thing that you can never fully get rid of because it will always creep back in there. Something comes up in your life or in your work, it can creep back in, and you can never get rid of it overnight. It's something that takes practice, it takes work to actually overcome it and to really reduce the symptoms and to increase your confidence levels. A lot of it is, knowing what your strengths are. And on the other hand, knowing what your weaknesses are too, because you may have heard this quote. It was in the 1920s, a journalist spoke to Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, and said to him, how does it feel to have failed 1,000 times? And Edison's response was, I've not failed 1,000 times. I've found 1,000 ways that won't work. And it's taking these failures and turning them into a positive and learning from them. And that's exactly what Edison did. Okay, it took him 1,000 attempts, but he got there. And every one he learned something new to move on from it. And that's what we all need to do, I think. When things go wrong, nobody's perfect. When things go wrong, if you think about, okay, what can I do to make sure it doesn't happen again and how can I improve on it? That can really help your imposter syndrome too.
No, there's a lot, I think, a lot to that. One of the memes that goes around is the student asks the master, how'd you become the master? And the master says, I made more mistakes than you. You know, and it's and I have been lately, we're recording this in the middle of November, and it won't come out until January because the schedule is chock-a-block. I've been digging in the middle of my archives, and I started writing when I was 17 in 2005. And I've been looking at some of the very, you know, kind of first things I ever wrote, and you know, sort of the shaky legs of early prose, and sort of thing. And it's just kind of like, wow, we've come a long way. Some things are the same. Today on the Cameron Journal, I published an old movie review that I did when I was 18 in 2006, and I'm kind of
Wow.
like, oh, I can. There's still that reporter's questioning skepticism, you know, that is still with us today. But there's the seeds of it, you know. There's the beginnings, you know, of what would become the Cameron Journal and all the things that I've done since then. And also, thing, and it's amazing, kind of how far, you know, how far it has come and how much progress can be made. And you know, I tell people, I said, it's I got. You know, I got here by, you know, writing a lot. I found the first thing I ever wrote. It was a terrible play called Executive Murder. I still have it. I found the start to probably five different book projects that I thought were really fire. And I thought, even with my first novel that I published, I said that took 11 years to write, and I tried writing it four different times before I found a storyline that worked, you know. And all this type of thing. And so it's that iterative, you know, trying and failing, trying and failing. And it can become discouraging. But if you put it in perspective of, okay, not that, but try this, not that, but try this, all this sort of thing, then eventually you break through. And I think that is, I think that's quite important. You know, it's kind of the fail fast, fail often sort of thing, because then you can finally light upon a thing that's going to work. Or if something's just not viable, you can move on, and that's okay too. And we mourn the loss of it, and we find the next thing and reinvent again. And that's so built into our modern economy in a way that it wasn't in the past. So I think that's why people have a tough time with it.
Yeah, that's true. And I think too, then on the creative front, when whether it's writing or artists, you've always got to remember that you can't please everybody. So whatever you produce is never gonna resonate with everybody, and that's okay.
And it's and that's and especially, you know, nowadays everybody is going to have an opinion about what you do and feel entitled to voice it.
Yes.
I write online. I'm at the front lines of this phenomena. But even in the workplace, I mean, everybody will have an opinion on what you're doing. You really have to triage whose opinions actually matter, you know.
Exactly.
It's like, who's in charge? Who's writing the checks? Their opinions matter. Everyone else, much less so, you know. And
That's
so
true.
it's I think that's a good, you know, that helpful perspective as well. So you mentioned some things people can do to combat imposter syndrome. Why don't you give us some tips and tricks? A lot of people listen to my show on their way to work. So why don't you give us some tips and tricks to combat the imposter syndrome?
All right. So, well, the first one that I had mentioned already was the knowing your achievements and your failures and recognizing them. And I think a lot of people are reluctant to recognize their achievements, and it's so important. And some weeks we won't have any major achievements. It might be something really small, but that doesn't matter. I think every week, I say to a lot of my career coaching clients is have a career success journal. And in that, list, write down what your achievements are, because when you have that bad day and imposter syndrome sets in, you can go back through this book and you can see, wow, okay, I can do this. And that's really good. Also, when it comes to your annual appraisals and you think, what did I do this year? You've got it all written down, so you know. And failures too, because not to give yourself a hard time, but say, okay, so what didn't work that time? Why did that happen? What can I do to make sure it doesn't happen again? Also, your strengths and weaknesses. Play to your strengths. Know your weaknesses so that you don't find yourself doing something that you shouldn't be doing because it isn't one of your strengths. It is one of your weaknesses. Try and avoid doing those things, or find ways to work on them. Take some courses. There's so many free courses nowadays. You can learn just about anything online. So try and work on improving those weaknesses. Something I used to do myself is visualization. When I first started out, I did a lot of workshops. And at times I was thinking, who am I to tell these people how to, get their next job? And, so I did all the, and the confidence to stand up in front of an audience and speak was kind of daunting. But by visualizing your success and running it through in your head, seeing how you want an event to play out, watching yourself doing it, it's like you convince your subconscious that you can do it. And when you start, you come across as being confident. Whether you're confident or not inside, it comes across. And that's all you need to do. It's like baking it till you make it.
Yeah.
So visualizing your success can really help. Affirmations can help too. And it's convincing your subconscious the truth about yourself. So I am confident in my abilities and will excel in my career. If you keep saying that often enough, reality will catch up, and it's exactly how you'll be. You'll be much more confident in your career, and your career will excel and will take off. It's all about building self-confidence, and a lot of that can even be in the way you speak. So instead of using words like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, well, should is a dangerous word. I should do something or I shouldn't do something. You either do it or you don't. There's no should about it. So don't knock yourself out by saying things, making yourself feel bad in the words that you use either to others or to yourself. Self-talk is so, yeah, what's the word? It can be really damaging to us, the negative voice inside our head. And we have to really drown out that voice. And there are several ways to do it. The one that I like is when I still love watching cartoons, Warner Brothers when I was little. And you remember and know sometimes there'd be a big weight would fall on the cartoon character and crush it. And that's what I do in my head. When I start to feel this, fear of something coming along or this voice inside my head, I have this image of the voice and I just drop this imaginary ton weight on it and that's it, shut it away. Whatever works for individuals, you have to. In the book, I have loads of these, all of these tips, the five key ones for getting around imposter syndrome and getting over it. But there's also a lot on confidence building as well. And it's finding what works for you as a person. Each person might, I mean, visualization won't work for everybody. I think it's a really good tool, but other people might not. Affirmations, it's the same, can really work for some people and not for others. Concentrating on your strengths is probably one of the easier ones to do, and then identifying your achievements. But it's finding what works for each individual and using that repeatedly until it just becomes nature and second habit, and you just do it and your confidence really will improve. Turning negative phrases into positive ones
That's very important.
really good way to do it too.
Yeah, if you get into your head and that's not a friendly place to be, the wheels will come right off your wagon. No, that's very good. I think the confidence thing is key. I don't know, this probably isn't as prevalent in Europe as it is in America, but people are staying at jobs a lot less time than they used to. My dad's about to retire from 30 years at one company. He'll be the last generation to do that. Here around here, we move around a lot more. I think it's really important to have that, and I see this with, such younger people, to have that confidence of you have skills, you do things, and so it gives them, I think, an ability to move. To apply, move to a different job, try something else, ask for more money, all this type of thing. And I think a lot of people, I think they're leaving money on the table with imposter syndrome. They don't believe they deserve it, or they don't believe that they bring that type of value to the table. And therefore, they never go look for that new job. They never ask for the money. And, they're making less money because of it. And that's sad. None of us, with this inflation, none of us can afford that. We need confidence, folks.
And that's really where keeping that note of your achievements. When you want to go to your boss and say, hey, I'm due a pay rise, and they're going, oh yeah, no chance. If you've got a list of what you've done and that all the great things, the value you've brought to the business and the company in the last year and the achievements you've made, and you can express those and explain them to your manager, you've got a better chance than if you go in there saying, "Oh, it's right, I haven't done anything this year." You have to be able to talk about your achievements to be able to get that pay rise. The best way to get a pay rise, though, is to find another job, because unfortunately, companies these days are not increasing salaries enough year on year. The best way to get a pay rise is to find another company, which is a shame. But it's great, as you said, that a lot more people these days are, yeah, they call it job hopping. I don't think that's an issue anymore. And my parents' day as well, it was an issue. You started with a company and you started at the bottom, you worked all your way up, and you spent your whole life with the same organization. Now people are moving around every 2 or 3 years.
I know
And I
it's
think
so
that's.
weird because like I've worked in media where people move around in the media environment a lot, especially because TV shows come and go, magazines come and go. So sometimes you'll rerun into people that you'd worked with elsewhere, sort of thing. And it was very common. It was unusual for that sort of thing. But now it's everywhere. It's in tech, it's in pharma, it's even auto factories. People, will move around, be like, it's like, yeah, he was at Chrysler 3 years ago, but now he's at General Motors. I mean, it's so fluid and dynamic. And I think you have to have a lot of confidence to navigate that well and take the opportunities in front of you. So no time for negative self-talk. Like,
Exactly. Definitely. Definitely.
yeah.
We all do it. I know that for sure, but we have to knock it down.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Anne, you've been absolutely delightful. Why don't you tell us where we can get your book and where to contact you and keep in touch with you online?
Okay. So the book is available on Amazon. So you can get it on Amazon in the US or the UK or pretty much anywhere. You can get it either as the Kindle version on Amazon, and it's also available as paperback on Amazon. So that's where you can get it. And to contact me, I have my business website, and that is power-to-change.eu. So it's Power to Change is the name, and it's I help people with their career path and resume writing, job interviews, and it's all on my website. So
Perfect. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Cameron Journal podcast.
it's been really great being here, and thank you so much for inviting me, Cameron. It's been great.
That's all for this episode of the Cameron Journal podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Visit us online at CameronJournal.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I love to talk to my followers and listeners, so please feel free to get us on social media at Cameron Cowan on Twitter. And we'll see you next time on the Cameron Journal podcast.